This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening along with us on the road to normal. Are we there yet? Normal?
We're supporting troops that we don't even know who they are.
Okay,
we're supporting troops that we don't even know who they are.
We're going to leave that there. I've got a question for Senator.
This is from a guy who gets his foreign policy from the shows.
Normal. We passed that exit a long time ago in the 2016 campaign. But are we lost? No. And that's the theme of this show today. Taking a wrong turn on the way to normal or average does not mean we are lost in any sense. We begin with an anything but average look at the 2016 presidential campaign. Here at The Takeaway, we have been looking for fresh voices to convey just how much the old rules of presidential campaigning have gone up in flames. Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, the reassuring, familiar names from the days of normal, are having some real trouble with the unusual successes of the Trumps, the Sanders, and the Cruises. Youthful, fresh-looking Marco Rubio has been trying to present himself as a familiar JFK-like alternative and has run into all kinds of trouble, battling for third place. Suki Kim is an investigative journalist, a novelist, and a Korean-American. She's best known for infiltrating North Korea as an undercover missionary evangelist and writing the tell-all book, Without You, There Is No Us. But for us and for the New Republic magazine, Suki Kim wandered into the cornfields of Iowa and the lowlands of South Florida for an outsider's look at this campaign, with a particular emphasis on Senator Marco Rubio, trying to appeal to the average Republican and the mainstream American voter, and having all kinds of trouble.
He has several worlds. The world I spent time in was his childhood world. In Florida, we all know he's a son of immigrants. I ended up spending time with people he went to high school with. He is very, very, very tight in one part of his personality, still with his friends he went to high school with. Seven men were all his best friends, and they're all Cuban. I went to his high school with one of his buddies from then, and the high school was 88% Hispanic American, and of that, 90% is Cuban. And that's a South Miami high school, which has 2,200 students. So it's a big public school. The principal was Cuban. The vice principal was Cuban. And all those seven friends being Cuban, he comes from in one way, 100% Cuban world, which is pretty remarkable that it's so insular that way. It's a very tight, in a way, endearing world he has. Because how many times you stay in touch with seven best friends from high school and married your high school sweetheart? And he had really designed his career since he was in college. And this is a guy who never excelled academically, barely made it, barely graduated with a minimum GPA from high school. College, he transferred three times from community and state schools with a barely passing grade. So with that, how he positioned himself to where he is thus far. And, you know, they always use the word he's personable, Marco. And that's, you know, I felt like it was a code word for his drive and social skill.
In the land of God down there in South Carolina, is his religious identity coherent? Is it one church? Is it he's the Catholic Cuban or what is it exactly?
Well, you know that Rubio goes to two churches. One thing he's criticized by Republicans, you know, generally is that he flip-flopped on immigration issues, right? And he's transferred colleges three times. With church, with faith, you know, he kept switching. You know, he was Catholic and then he was Mormon and then now he's Catholic and he goes to an evangelical church. I went to his evangelical church, which is called Christ Fellowship. It's, you know, one of the biggest evangelical churches in the country.
I mean, it has like thousands of people in the audience. I mean, it's a huge stadium almost.
Yeah. I mean, it was fascinating because, you know, I'd gone undercover as an evangelical into North Korea, but I'd actually never been to an evangelical church on that scale. And yes, it was like a rock concert. And it was a bit more like self-help stuff than a church that I imagined. But this is where he spends supposedly, you know, every Saturday night going to.
So it's Saturday night with the evangelical, Sunday with the Catholics.
Catholic, right.
I see.
So he's both.
What do people in Florida think about that they think he's sincere, that they think he's ambitious, that they have passionate feelings about him, supporting him? I mean, does he have a core base of people who think that Rubio is like the thing that's going to help America?
I went to Dominus Park, which is in Little Havana. The older generation who are Cubans are all Republicans in general. They all were Trump followers.
Really?
And then you also talk to Hispanic Americans. Cuban Americans are a very particular breed. They're not really like other immigrant groups. Hispanic Americans don't really speak kindly of Cuban Americans because Cuban Americans have a different set of rules when they come into the country.
Right. They're waved in.
They're waved in.
Yeah.
So I think that whole immigration, when he talks about I'm a son of an immigrant, that he understands immigration, I'm not sure he really does as a Cuban American in a way. When your set of standards are totally different from the rest of immigrants, you know, I'm a Korean immigrant, for example, and it's a very different set of standard for Cubans versus any immigrants or Hispanic Americans. You know,
so when he says the wall, when he talks about a wall, just like Donald Trump talks about a wall, the wall wouldn't apply to Cubans under U.S. law.
Not at all. But, you know, it's interesting because they don't really talk about that. Candidates can't. You know, Florida is a very important, we all know, you know, it's an important place when it comes down to it. So they're not going to alienate Cuban immigrants at all. They don't have to deal with any of this difficulty of what it means to be an illegal immigrant in this country. It's interesting because people think there's Ted Cruz and Rubio as these Hispanic American candidates. Cubans don't seem to embrace Cruz, really. And Hispanic Americans don't necessarily view them as one of theirs either because those are Cubans. And one Rubio follower I spoke to said, you know, there are actually two Hispanic Americans in this among Republican candidates. It's Jeb Bush and Rubio, not Ted Cruz and Rubio. And there's some truth to that, too.
Does Rubio have a plan B if this doesn't work out? I mean, would he be a – do you think based on all of his preparations and his sense of ambition that you get from the people that, you know, you've talked to, would he take some running mate vice presidency? Is it all or nothing?
I think that that's pretty much, you know, vice president role is very possible. They constantly talk about him being so young. I mean, he's only 5 months younger than Ted Cruz, and no one talks about Ted Cruz being so young. So he's really being packaged as that, as the youth, fresh and baby face, all of this stuff. With that, though, you know, because he's the one with a future, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Suki Kim is an investigative journalist and novelist. She's covering Marco Rubio for The New Republic magazine.